Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be continuing on with the series By Candlelight They Suffer. This has been a series submitted by Jarrett, and today we are reading Part 9. If you're following along, I hope you're enjoying yourself so far. Let's get started. Brooke sat frozen against the cold wall of the ambulance, as rain hammered down against the roof overhead. The vehicle lurched through an intersection, sirens screaming, the flashing red light spilling across every surface inside. Across from her, Jordan lay strapped to the stretcher, an unrecognizable heap that didn't move. An oxygen mask covered most of her face, wires ran everywhere, and a blood pressure cuff squeezed her arm at regular intervals. Every few seconds, another machine emitted a sharp electronic chirp that caused Brooke's already frayed nerves to unravel further. Jordan's mother sat beside her daughter, clutching one of Jordan's limp hands between both of hers. "Baby, stay with me," she whispered. Jordan suddenly convulsed as a sick, wet gag escaped her throat. Brooke's stomach dropped. "Oh my God." The paramedics immediately moved as Jordan's eyes fluttered. For one horrible moment, Brooke thought she was waking up. Then another choking sound escaped her. "She's asphyxiating," one of the paramedics said, a bald guy in his mid-20s. "We need space to work," he said as he guided Brooke back to the far corner jump seat, out of arm's reach of Jordan. The other paramedic, a hardened, no-nonsense woman in her late 30s, with a brown ponytail and tattoo sleeves running up both arms, removed the oxygen mask, grabbed Jordan's jaw and tilted her head sideways while the bald one moved away from Brooke and tore open a package, producing a length of clear tubing he connected to a portable suction machine. The machine roared to life, and Brooke jumped as the bald paramedic slid the tube into Jordan's mouth. Jordan immediately retched as her entire body jerked against the black stretcher straps. The suction machine emitted a horrible slurping noise, like a kid sucking a drink through a partially plugged straw, as fluid disappeared through the tubing. Jordan's eyes had rolled halfway open, revealing only slivers of blue beneath fluttering eyelids. Tears streaked down her cheeks as the tube worked deeper into her mouth. "Gag reflex is present," the tattooed woman said as Jordan made another choking sound and began convulsing. The paramedics exchanged a look. "We need to open that airway." Brooke's pulse began hammering as one of them reached for a larger package. Inside was a much thicker tube, this one red and made of thick, bendable rubber. Jordan's mother saw it too because she cried. "What are you doing?" The paramedics didn't stop working, but said, "If she vomits again, it could kill her." The tube looked impossibly large as the end was lubricated and moved towards her. Brooke felt bile rise into her own throat. "No. Come on, sweetie, what did you take?" the woman paramedic said as the rubber tube was wiggled past Jordan's blue-tinted lips and into her mouth. Suddenly, regretting coming along for the ride, Brooke watched helplessly as Jordan gagged, so violently her entire body arched against the stretcher restraints. A horrible choking sound escaped her throat as tears instantly flooded from the corners of her eyes. "Oh my God," Brooke whispered, barely able to watch. This was unbearable. And Jordan's mother broke down.
"Stop! You're hurting her!"
"We have to do this for her to breathe, ma'am." Jordan gagged again, and again, and again. Each convulsion looked powerful enough to throw her off the stretcher if the straps hadn't been holding her down. Her face had gone an alarming shade of blue-gray beneath the flashing ambulance lights, as puddles of green vomit formed at the corners of her mouth. Dripping out from around the tube and down her chin and neck, her chest began to move, her breathing wheezing loudly as she struggled for air. The woman paramedic continued speaking in a calm voice. "That's it. Breathe for me." "Good." "Good? How is any of this good?" Jordan looked terrified as her mother sobbed openly, clutching her daughter's hand so tightly her skin had turned stark white from the unrelenting grip. Jordan's eyelids fluttered. For a split second, Brooke thought she was going to wake up. Then they closed again. The paramedics, if they'd been urgent before, broke out into an all-out dire panic. "Come on, Jordan." Brooke couldn't stop wondering if this was the last time she'd ever see her alive. Maddie wasn't entirely surprised to see herself all alone in Miss Delaney's first period class. Well, not alone. Plenty of other students had shown up, but the notable ones, Jordan and Brooke, hadn't. Jordan's absence was obvious. She had gotten the package and had opened it. No one would come to school the morning after getting something like that. But how to explain Brooke? She was a wild card, and not someone Maddie had a good handle on. Maddie had heard through the grapevine that Chloe had been taken to the hospital and planned to stop by sometime later today, but only after taking care of some other, more important business. Unable to focus on the lecture, Maddie slipped her phone out of her bag and began scrolling her feed. A post popped up, reminding her of the football game later tonight, the one that Drake was starting in. Normally, she'd feel bad for missing it, but the way he'd treated her lately, no way. She had promised to make up with him yesterday, but she hadn't responded to any of his messages since. It must have driven him crazy. But he shouldn't have been caught off guard if he'd been paying attention. When he inevitably approached her during lunch or a break between classes later today, she'd lie and tell him everything was fine. Maybe she'd even sneak off to one of the out-of-the-way bathrooms or janitorial closets with him just to drive the point home. Anything to get him off her back for a couple of hours. The rest of Delaney's class dragged on like molasses, and finally, when the bell mercifully rang, she rose to her feet and entered the hall. It was then someone tapped her shoulder. Maddie looked up to see Kelsey Monroe, a pathetic wannabe girl. She dressed like Maddie, but all off brands that anyone with real taste could spot a mile away. Maddie was about to snap at her for leaving skin oils on her green Hermes blouse, but Kelsey's worried expression made her tongue plaster to the roof of her mouth. What was wrong?
"Hey, I need to talk to you,"
Kelsey started. Maddie held back an eye roll.
"What? Did you hear about Jordan?"
Folding her arms defensively, Maddie huffed.
"If this is about the other day, it's not your business."
Kelsey frowned.
"What? No, everyone knows you kicked her out of your group. You mean you seriously haven't seen it yet?"
"Seen what?" Kelsey pulled out her phone and unlocked it.
"Some stupid girl posted about it."
Now Maddie let her eyes roll. That described half the girls who went to this school.
"Who posted it?" Let me see. Brooke Palmer?"
Maddie's stomach tightened.
"What did she post?"
Kelsey turned the screen around, showing an ambulance parked in front of Jordan Halstead's house, posted only a couple hours ago. The caption read, "Pray for Jordan." Below it were already dozens of comments. Apparently, Brooke had a tiny, minuscule social media following. Mostly family, Maddie bet. But since it was set to public, anyone could view or comment on her posts. Some of them read, "What happened? Is she okay? Oh my God, is this real?" Someone said she tried to kill herself. Maddie felt her heartbeat skip.
"What? What do they mean, kill herself? Are they actually serious?"
Kelsey nodded.
"People are saying she got rushed to the hospital."
Maddie couldn't hide her shock.
"You're joking." "I wish, but that's what everyone's talking about. One of my friends said it's really bad, like she might die bad. And since you two are friends, or were friends anyways, I thought you should know."
Maddie felt the room tilt on its axis. "Okay. So fine. Jordan was supposed to be upset. And yeah, the petition, sure. It was mean. Vindictive even. But it wasn't supposed to do anything but remind her of her place. It wasn't supposed to be this serious. How had Maddie misjudged the situation so badly?" Then her brain flashed back to the comment Jordan had made in the bathroom right before she had kicked her out of the clique.
"I swear to God, if Coach makes me run suicides again, I'm literally going to OD myself."
Maddie had been too pissed off at Jordan to listen to her at the time. And maybe that had been a mistake. But God, she just found out about her and Drake, and of course she was emotional. Who wouldn't be? But why now? Why would the petition make Jordan try to kill herself and not getting kicked out of the group? Had someone, maybe someone important, signed that petition unknowingly? Had Drake gone around Jordan's friend circles and gotten them all to sign? Considering their fling, it was a possibility. But would it be someone Jordan cared about enough to make her take action that drastic? Maddie shook her head. She was only guessing, and that wasn't going to cut it.
She had to find out more. Another comment on Kelsey's phone caught her eye. My cousin works at the hospital. They said she's in critical condition. Suddenly, she didn't want to read anymore. All Maddie could hear was the pounding of her own heartbeat. For the first time since this whole thing started, she wondered if maybe she'd gone too far. But then another thought. This one was so wicked and rotten that it almost made her guilty to even think about it. Almost. Maybe Maddie Pemberton could twist this awful situation to her advantage. After all, she hadn't passed that petition around. Someone else had. So who cared about Brooke Palmer? She was irrelevant here. But she couldn't say the same about Patterson High's mega-popular quarterback. Why are you smiling? The question jolted Maddie back to reality. Kelsey stared at her, her face a mask of confusion. Say, Maddie said, putting a hand on the girl's shoulder. How would you like to do a favor for me? Confusion melted away into something like awe. Oh, sure. What? If you help me with this, it gives you a pass to sit by me at lunch and hang out with us outside of school. If you get what I'm saying. How does that sound? Maddie could practically see Kelsey melt into the floor. Sounds amazing. I'll do anything. Literally, anything you need. Just ask. Maddie's lips curled into a vulpine smile. Anything, huh? Chloe couldn't stand it anymore. The nightmares, those horrible dreams. Every time she closed her eyes, she saw it standing over her bed. Sometimes it was in the closet. Sometimes it was hovering in the corner. Last night, she dreamt it was hanging upside down from the ceiling, watching her. She hadn't slept at all. Not really. And the worst part was she kept checking the corners of the room, convinced that horrible thing was going to reappear. Luckily, it hadn't. At least she was pretty sure. The hospital room sat quiet around her. Morning overcast filtered through the blinds in a dull gray. The TV remained on some daytime talk show, providing mindless background noise. Someone, a nurse most likely, had removed the restraints from her left hand, but her right wrist remained secured to the bed rail. Apparently, they still thought she was crazy. The doctor that had visited earlier this morning told her she had been unruly when she'd initially entered the hospital. Thus, the restraints to keep her from hurting herself that had offended her more than the restraints had. Then the itching returned sometime after, but not just her back anymore. Her entire left side, right by her ribs, felt like 1,000 ants crawling beneath her skin. Chloe tried ignoring it, and lasted maybe 30 seconds before she twisted sideways and shoved her free hand beneath the hospital gown. The instant her fingers touched her skin, she froze. Something felt wrong. Slowly, she lifted the fabric with the same hand. The breath left her lungs when she'd seen how the glowing mark had spread. The original spot on her lower back wasn't a spot anymore. Thin orange and purple lines branched outward from it like tree branches, wrapping around her side and stretching across her stomach. They all glowed brightly, enough to see in the natural light of the room. No, no, no. Her voice came out barely above a whisper as the marks pulsed and throbbed beneath her skin. Examining it more closely, she realized that every line fed into another, forming some twisted map or network beneath her flesh. A vein system. That's what it looked like. Actually, it looked like a second circulatory system growing inside her body, because there were thicker lines that looked like arteries. Chloe's breathing quickened as she followed a bundle of marks that stretched across her ribs and down toward her waist. One cluster converged near her navel. She leaned closer, then immediately wished she hadn't. Several of the glowing lines disappeared directly into her belly button. They did not simply converge around it like a rash. No, the lines literally went down into her belly button like water flowing down a drain. Oh my God. Her fingers twitched from fear as she gingerly pressed them against her skin. The marks were warm. They felt alive, somehow. Chloe jerked her hand away. A memory flashed through her head. The doppelganger with its blurry outline, the unfinished face, the fuzzy edges. Suddenly she understood why. The thing wasn't fully formed because it wasn't done forming. Yet. And judging by the marks crawling across her stomach, it was getting closer. What would be left of her by the time it was finished?
Sage was halfway through a new favorite Netflix true crime doc when she heard keys jostling in the front door. Curious, but not really able to call out loud enough to get a reply, she waited in her motor chair until the door swung open. She laid eyes on her twin sister and immediately knew something was wrong. "Hey, ugly," she said in her customary greeting. "Wait," Mom called, rounding the corner with a long, annoyed stride. "Why aren't you in school? It's only 9. Jade ignored them both and stormed through the living room without even looking in anyone's direction. Her face was a canvas of pent-up emotional baggage, and her eyes looked glassy. Before Sage could ask what happened, Jade disappeared into her bedroom and slammed the door. Sage exchanged a glance with her mom, who walked over and knocked on Jade's door. "Honey, what's wrong?" "Leave me alone," Jade shouted from the other side. Mom tried the doorknob, pushed the door open, and was promptly greeted with a, "Get out!" She didn't need to be told twice. Sage could see the concerned expression as she hurried back into the kitchen. "What in the world happened?" she asked. Sage had no idea and said as much. Then crying began emanating from Jade's room, and Sage sat there listening to it. It tore at her, and after a few minutes, she was unable to sit idly by and let it happen. "Open her door for me," Sage said, as she maneuvered her chair down the hallway. Each puff and blow on the mouth control sent a tingle of dread through her brain as she stopped just outside her twin sister's door. Her mom sneaked around Sage and, as quietly as possible, slid the door open just a crack. Sage pushed her lumbering chair all the way through, throwing the door back with a loud thump. Jade looked up, her black mascara staining her cheeks. The sheer depth of sorrow and pain etched onto her features tore at Sage's heart. She wheeled forward. "Hey," she said, omitting the ugly from her usual greeting. Clearly, this wasn't the time nor place. Although, considering what had happened over the past year, when was? Jade didn't reply. Rather, she hung her head, trying to hold back more tears from falling. "Want to talk about it?" Jade followed up, hoping that she could get Jade out of this headspace. Jade wiped her nose with the back of her hand and said, "No, not really. Can you just leave me alone?" "No," Sage wheeled closer, close enough for her hand, perpetually locked in place, resting on her chair's armrest, to brush against Jade's arm. It was then Sage noticed the red and black swirled candle resting on the bed. Her eyes widened as she stared at the lock of blonde hair curled around the wick. "Who's that?" she asked. Jade met her gaze and turned to follow it. Reaching out, she grabbed the candle and held it in her hands. "I was about to do something really stupid, but..." "But what?" "This girl, her name is Brooke. I've only known her for a few days. She's like one of the only true friends I've made there. But today she slapped me across the face." "Why would she do that?" Sage asked, talking over a beep from one of the many machines she had attached to her at any given time. "Because I deserved it," Jade said, launching into a long-winded explanation of everything that had happened over the past few days. When she was done, Sage said, "So why would you perform a burning on her?" Jade looked away, then back at her sister. "Because I can't live like this." "Live like what?" "This," she shouted, launching off the bed and waving up and down with both arms at Sage. "Because of me? You can't walk. I can't go anywhere with you. You're my best friend and you're locked away in the prison. How do you think that makes me feel?" Ugly, retching sobs ripped past Jade's lips as she collapsed back on the bed in a heap. It went on a while. Seeing her sister like this was like a knife in her soul. Sage felt tears sting her eyes, but she held them back. No, she had to be strong enough for both of them. "Jade," she whispered. Jade slowly spread two fingers from her face, showing one of her puffy, reddened eyes. "I'm still here," she said. Jade sat up, wiped at her moist wreck of a face, and threw herself onto Sage, squeezing her in a death grip. "I don't want to lose you," she sobbed into Sage's shoulder. Wanting more than anything in the world to hug her back, Sage repeated, "I'm still here." After a minute of embracing, Jade pulled back. "I know, but it doesn't feel like it." All of this talking was taking a toll on her throat and airway, but Sage pushed past the discomfort
What about me?
Jade looked at her funny.
What do you mean? All you've been talking about is how my paralysis makes you feel, but you don't have to live with it. That's a crappy thing to say. I have to live with what happened to you forever. But you can go wherever you want. Meet a boy, friends, start a family. I can't. You might feel bad, but it doesn't change how you live your life.
I know, Jade said, staring at the carpet.
I know. No, you don't. I joke all the time, but inside, it's torture. Sometimes, I wish...
Sage trailed off.
Wish what? Wish I had died on those cliffs.
Jade's head snapped up.
Sage, don't say that. Don't ever say that. It might have been better for you if I wasn't pushed, but it would have been better for me.
Don't say that.
Tears began flowing from Jade again.
You're killing me. Don't say this stuff.
She flew off her bed, hands clasped above her head, hyperventilating as she paced the room. Suddenly, she froze and whirled to face Sage's chair.
Wait, what did you just say?
Say what?
Then a surge of terror exploded through Sage's brain.
Oh no. Had she really made that slip? Jade didn't know. Only her parents did. And they both agreed to never tell Jade the truth.
Oh God, no! Damn it, damn it, damn it! You just said something.
Jade pointed a finger towards her.
You said you were pushed? No, I didn't. Yeah, you said someone pushed you. I thought you always told me you slipped. You were saying that someone at the party? Don't tell me.
Jade turned away, holding her hand over her mouth like she was battling a case of nausea.
Jade, me, Mom, and Dad all decided that you shouldn't know.
Know what?
Jade screamed. Suddenly, their mom appeared back in the doorway, an anguished expression clouding her features. She stumbled into the room, feeling for a place to sit. She found a wooden desk chair and slumped into it.
There's something we have to tell you, Jade, about Sage's accident.
Her breath smelled of wine as she spoke. Jade looked at her mom, then her sister, dumbfounded.
You will want to sit down for this, honey,
their mom said. Jade practically fell back onto her bed. To Sage.
Do you want me to tell it?
Sage shook her head and managed a raspy,
I can.
That's okay, honey. You rest your voice. You've been talking a lot. Go relax. With as much conviction as she could muster, Sage shouted a,
No.
The room fell into a hushed silence.
What happened at that party?
Jade whimpered, her lower lip trembling.
I got drunk. And I remember finding my way outside on the balcony, overlooking the lake. I was just leaning over the railing when I felt someone come up behind me. My vision was blurry and I don't really remember everything that was said, but I remember we were the only two out there. He asked me to go with him to a bedroom and sleep with him. I said no. I tried to leave. He got physical and somehow, I don't know, he pushed me backwards and I went over the railing. I remember how cool the breeze was on my neck and back as I fell. Then I remember landing on my neck, hearing this loud crunch, then a fire that spread down my back and limbs. That's the last thing I remembered.
What? Ow.
Shit.
Jade whispered.
If I tell you, promise me you won't go after them? Who was it?
Jade clutched her bedsheets in a death grip. Sage couldn't help but grimace as she said the name past the lump in her throat.
Drake Billings.
And that's the end of this part. I hope this was a big enough cliffhanger for you. I hope you're thoroughly mad at me for leaving it here. If you are very, very mad, please like this video, like this episode. That will really stick it to me for leaving an episode on such a cliffhanger next time. Regardless of how you might feel, I appreciate you for listening. I really hope you're enjoying this so far. A huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible. If you'd like to support the channel, you can do so by liking and subscribing to the podcast, to the YouTube channel, or becoming a Patreon member. I really appreciate all of you. Thank you for stopping by. I hope you're enjoying yourself.
and we'll see you in the next part. Take care now. Bye-bye then.